This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That in this world, you have a mission, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that mission would have been very easy had there not been any barriers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a barrier which is known as shaitan, and he is your enemy. And the only way a person can save themselves from their opponent or their enemy is by carefully studying their enemy and carefully studying their opponent. When you play basketball, when you're in the ring fighting jiu-jitsu, when you're boxing, whatever you're doing, the only way, and one of the most successful ways, right, to beat your opponent is by studying your opponent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us you need to study shaitan, you need to understand shaitan. When we study the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophetic narration that we have in front of us, we realize shaitan has a very stiffy and very, very shady way of attacking the human being. His ultimate goal is to take your faith away. But it's not as easy as coming to you and saying, give me your faith and join kufr. Because the reality is that you and I would throw a Hail Mary and knock that guy down. Were we capable to do so? So what happens now is shaitan begins to work around the frame, and he begins to attack you. And how does he attack you? He has to get to your faith. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordered us to do certain things in our deen, which are obligatory upon us, which are optional upon us, which set around our faith shelves of security, which safeguard our faith. So what shaitan does first is he attacks your character. And after attacking your character, when your character goes down, then shaitan attacks your modesty. And when your modesty goes down, then shaitan begins to attack your nawafil, your optional actions. And when the nawafil go down, when the optional actions are taken away from your hands, the next thing shaitan does, he attacks your sunnah. And the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is then taken away from your hands. When the sunnah is gone from your hand, then shaitan makes the next chop on the person. And the next thing he takes away from that person is his wajibat. When the wajibat are taken away from that person, shaitan then takes the last thing that remains in this person's hand, which are his fara'id. And when the fara'id and the obligations are taken away from a person, the only thing that he stands on is one pillar, which is his faith. A little wind comes, that pillar falls over too, and nothing remains with that person at all. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. That when no longer you have any modesty, then the rest of it is just a trickle effect. Slowly, 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 all of it goes away. The greatest shell that we have, the most powerful thing that we have, is our haya, our modesty. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates this hadith, which I just narrated in front of you. There was a very famous scholar by the name of Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj. He passed away in 100 year 100 Hijri. He was known as Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. What was he known as? Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was the leader of all the Muslims in Hadith. He was one of the first in Islamic history to critique narrators. Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, rahmatullahi alayhi. So he was a very good scholar. He was walking on the pathway, and this man by the name of Abdullah came in front of him. And this Abdullah was known as being a very mischievous individual. So he stood in front of Imam Shu'bah and he said to him, Hadithni, narrate some hadith in front of me. You're a master of hadith, bring some hadith in front of me. So this Imam Shu'bah, he knew that this man wasn't here to study, he was here to bother him. So he said, I don't want to narrate any hadith in front of you. So this Abdullah said, narrate in front of me, otherwise I'm going to break open on you. Start narrating quick. So Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, rahmatullahi alayhi, he recited the hadith, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. That when no longer you have any modesty, then go do what you want, there is nothing that can keep you in your place. This Abdullah said to Imam Shu'bah, that I came here to bother you, but once you narrated this hadith in front of me, and you caught me in my immodesty, my challenging of you, right, my threatening to you, when you caught me in my shoes and my immodesty, the only thing I can do now is repent. He shook the hand of Imam Shu'bah and he repented at his hands. And this very same Abdullah then went ahead to be Abdullah ibn Maslama Qan'awi, who was a very great scholar of hadith too. Abdullah ibn Maslama Qan'awi. The point that I'm trying to make here is that this is a principle in our deen, our modesty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that each nation was given something special. There was every nation, every prophet emphasized a particular thing, a particular subject, and a particular characteristic within their teachings. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what I emphasize the most is modesty, haya, to be bashful, to control oneself. Now generally when we think of modesty, what comes to our mind? Dress appropriate, right? More or less, whenever we think of modesty, what does that mean? Don't walk around, you know, without any shirt on top. What does that mean? Don't walk around with your shorts on. Yeah, that's our concept of modesty. But modesty is beyond clothing. One of the three components of modesty is clothing, to dress appropriate. But the second component of modesty is to speak appropriate. And the third component of modesty is to conduct yourself appropriately. There are three components to modesty. A person must dress appropriately, speak appropriately, and also your conduct must be appropriate. What's the use of a person dressed really nicely, but his tongue is loose? What's the use of a person saying hi, hello, thank you, but his conduct is of no good at all? This person is a harm to the society. So this is not complete modesty. Modesty is complete, and this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, to be humble in our actions, to be humble in our words, to be humble in the way we dress. We see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how does he dress? We see, how does he speak? How does he talk? How does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conduct himself in front of the people? The people see his actions, they hear his words, they see the way he's dressed, and they have no testification, but ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So this is the beauty of modesty in our deen. And honestly, it's a very broad topic, and there's so much to cover in this subject, but hopefully this covers our discussion right here. One thing bear in mind, okay? We must never lose our modesty. You know, this may sound a little harsh, as if I'm scolding you guys. Honestly, I'm no one to scold you guys. Most of you guys sitting here are probably a lot more older than me. Just jump me and knock me out, right? But my position here isn't to scold anyone. My position here, honestly, is as a brother to pass on advice. And this advice is not my own advice. This is advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So when we're playing basketball, when we're outside on the streets, and when we're meeting other people, the thing that's going to glow the most as a Muslim is your modesty. That's your haya. That's what's going to glow the most. If you and I can be on the court and play basketball and keep ourselves composed, keep ourselves proper in our conduct, in our speech, right, in the way we dress, then trust me, you've learned what modesty actually means. Modesty isn't that you're sitting in front of someone that loves you and you speak nicely to that person and you show nice conduct to that person and you dress appropriately when you come to the masjid. That's not modesty. Modesty is when you are in the streets. Modesty is when you're in a competitive ground. And at times like that, you let the reins hold yourself back. You don't let yourself loose. Do you understand? You keep yourself proper the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did at the most difficult of times. Let me give you one example with this, I'll end my discussion. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained composed at the most difficult of times? It's the battle of Badr taking place. Moments before the two armies clash, just moments before, the mubaraza, the challenge phase is already taking place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back to the sahaba. He's really worried, he's crying, he has tears in his eyes, and he's really worried. And the dua that he's making is, oh Allah, if today we lose in the battlefield, there will be no one to worship you on the face of this earth, oh Allah, do not let us lose. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu has his hand on the shoulder of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's saying, O Messenger of Allah, please don't say stuff like this. O Messenger of Allah, Allah will never let you lose. Be firm and allow us to be firm too. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one last time while he was walking through the lines, he said, Sabu sufufakum, straighten your lines, stand straight. And there was one companion who was standing with his chest sticking out. He was standing out of line. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his asa, he took his staff, and he poked that companion in the chest. He said, stand straight, young soldier. And that person said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, zalamtani. You just oppressed me. You just did dhulman. You just poked me. You hurt me right now. I want revenge. Imagine this, okay? It's not some lame basketball game. It's not our lame situation that we face on the street. This is battle. This is war about to take place. The first great Islamic battle. And imagine how tense Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. And the man saying, I want revenge. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He gives him the staff. He removes the sheath. He says, take your revenge from me right now. Take your revenge from me right now. And what does that sahabi do? He takes a staff, he throws it on the ground, and he jumps and hugs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, when you told us to stand firm in the lines, I had made intention that I would never walk out of this battlefield alive ever again. And the last thing, the last joy and pleasure I wanted of this dunya was to hug you one more time. And O Messenger of Allah, I've accomplished that. There's no longer any need for me to live anymore. So subhanAllah, look at this. This is a tiny example. So for you and I, this is something that we should hold on to in our workplaces, in our school, wherever we are within the society, within our friends, on the court, off the court, that we always keep ourselves composed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the tough one is not the one, right? Laysa shadidu bisura. The tough one isn't the one who can knock the other man down. Innama shadidu alladhi yamliku nafsahu inda al-ghadab. The tough man is the one who can control himself at the time of anger, because that requires discipline. And not every man can have discipline. It requires to be a true man to discipline yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everything that is said for myself, and thank you for listening. JazakAllah khairan. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum.
Takbir. Allahu akbar. Takbir. Allahu akbar.